Kathy Connell from Redford and Gardens is one of the presenters at this month's Back to Basics event, which will be held Saturday, January 27th in Pine River. Her workshop is about beginning seed saving. Kathy joins us by phone from Redfern Gardens in Sabika. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
Just to start out, would you tell us a little bit about Redfern Gardens?
Sure. My husband and I operate a 40-acre farm out here halfway between Sabika and Nimrod. I'm always saying it's the coldest spot with the poorest soil in Wadena County. We did market gardening here for some years. We sold at farmers markets and local restaurants, and now we're retiring a little bit. In order to retire, I had to take a job out, so I'm working at the Wadena High School, coordinating their school garden program. Then my husband and I, to keep us busy in our spare time, we grew seeds for Fedco Seed Company last year. So we've started doing that and not doing our market garden. Market gardening is very intensive, and CSAs, it's very intensive and very demanding. Mm-hmm. And we needed to back off just a little bit. So that's our plan for the future, is to continue raising some seed for some seed companies. And as long as we can keep it up, keeping it up.
Now, how did you become interested in gardening? What's your background?
I was raised back east. And as a child, one of my family members raised pigeons. And you go, raised pigeons, what's that got to do with gardening? Well, I was following him around all the time asking questions, and I must have been about 7 or 8 years old, and he got so annoyed, he gave me a handful of corn feed for the pigeons. And he said, here, go plant this. And so I said, where? And he said, on the side of the house where nobody ever goes, and so I did. Mm-hmm. And I fell in love with the magic. I felt like Jack and the Beanstalk. I could not believe that corn seed I had put in the ground became an 8-foot-tall green plant. That was just amazing to me, and that did it. After that time, any time I could get my hands on anything, we ate watermelon during the summer, and I planted the seed. It started something that has never failed to enthrall me with the miracle of it, that a seed, a tiny lettuce seed, becomes a head of lettuce, mm-hmm. you know. So any opportunity I've had as an adult, and I haven't always had the opportunities because I have moved around and I have had times when I've lived in the city or not been able to garden, but whenever I could, I did, so.
Oh, you know, you sound like the perfect people, the perfect person to teach people who are not so knowledgeable about seeds. Why is seed saving important?
You know, we're reaching a point where we're losing so many varieties. And this is just one of the reasons. There are so many reasons that are important to save seed. But one of them is that varieties are being lost. We have so many fewer varieties available to us now than we did in the past. In the early 1900s, even, there were many, many more varieties in the seed catalogs than there are now. And part of that is also that we've become more generalized instead of specialized geographically. In other words, the seed that most of us have available to us, the seeds that we would buy on the stands in the hardwares or the box stores, they pick those varieties so that they will do well almost anywhere in the country. And we are not almost anywhere in the country. We have very specific things that are incorporated into our seeds here that, for instance, just earliness. We need crops that are going to complete their growing early. And when I'm speaking of crops, I'm talking about the home gardener primarily, though, of course, the other major food crops need earliness, too. But there are some excellent tomatoes out there, but if they're so late maturing that we never get tomatoes off the vine, it isn't going to do us any good. So one of the aspects of seed saving is that it allows us to be geographically specific. It allows us to grow varieties that are going to do best in our area. I live on very, very sandy soil. And so in selecting the best plants in my home garden, I'm selecting the plants that do well on sandy soil. And eventually that begins to show up, and those seeds will do better in that area than others. And all of the traditional seeds, all of the seeds that we like to call heirlooms, and the definition of an heirloom is sometimes kind of fuzzy, but most of the time we're talking about a seed that's been handed generation to generation and has been around at least 50 years. But all of those heirloom seeds, they'll be lost if we don't hold on to them. And they have specific attributes that aren't available through other kinds of plants and seeds raised elsewhere.
So it sounds like part of what you're going to teach is genetics almost, that you have to breed for traits. And how is that done?
Oh, and that's very, very true. Seed saving itself can be very easy in some circumstances. But let me give you an example. There's a green bean called Provider, and it's been around quite a while. And it's heavy bearing, and it's a delicious bean, and it's the one I use for freezing. It's a bush green bean. If we planted a row of that or two rows of that and we harvested it maybe twice for our freezer or canning or whatever we're doing, and then we decided, well, let's just save the seed that comes on after that time from the beans that come on after that time, we could have plants in there that did not start setting beans until later than the others. Now, it could be because the seed was planted too deep, or it could be because the genetic material in that bean didn't start it blooming until later than the rest. Well, if that bean plant or several bean plants has set on really heavy now because it is later, and we save those for seeds, we're saving for lateness. So our beans next year, half of them might be so much later maturing that they'll begin to be worthless for us. And if we repeat that every year, it'd be the same. On the other hand, if we took a small section of that row and did not harvest it, but looked at the plants and see, oh, well, they're all starting to bloom, except here's two that are not blooming yet. We'll cut them off at ground level and take them out so that they are not going to be adding to our seed. So we shape the attributes that are in our seed when we're saving seed. And so seed saving can be as simple as just harvesting all the seed from a certain area. It's not the saving itself that's difficult. You just dry the beans. Mm-hmm. But it can be very important in that if we don't select, something will select for us. I like to think of it like a river through time. And so every year that I save that seed, something new might be picked up and something that had been there might be dropped. And I'm the one that has to pay attention and make sure that it continues to be what I want it to be. So it requires thought. It requires thought and examination about what it is you're looking for in that plant. So, and you know, of course, this is challenging. It's a good thing to keep us young and keep us thinking, huh?
Well, you know, you've already taught me something really important, you know, just by saying, you know, save the beginning seeds and select for earliness, which, you know, you don't realize when you take the later seeds that you're selecting for later. You need, yeah, like you say, you have to give it some thought. What other things might we need to keep in mind if we're saving seeds?
That's going to depend a lot on the specific varieties that you're looking at or the specific species. Some things that I like to mention is self-pollination and cross-pollination. These are two important things to remember because beginners usually can start with self-pollinating plants. And self-pollinating plants are not normally insect-pollinated, so they're not normally crossed from outside. So you have to think about the plants that you're growing and what parents or parenting might be involved. Self-pollinating plants, tomatoes tend to be self-pollinating, beans and peas tend to be self-pollinating. These plants are relatively easier to save seed from at first because they aren't as likely to cross with other families in the same species. You know, that's a point to remember, and remember that cross-pollinating plants may have parents from other, even a neighbor's garden may be able to add pollen to your garden because of bees crossing the lines. I always recommend the beginners start with the self-pollinating plants, and those, you know, would be the easiest to save seed from and control the genetics to a degree. Mm-hmm. I also recommend have some fun checking out alternative seed sources because, for instance, I'm really excited. I love kale, and of course now kale's become a popular vegetable, and everyone talks about it, but kale is very difficult to save seed from. It's a biennial, which means that it needs to grow 1 year and then produce its seed the second year. And, of course, in my climate, I can't winter over kale, not outside. So if I wanted to save seed from kale, I'd have to dig up kale plants, temporarily pot them in some buckets, hold them in my root cellar over winter, plant them out again the next spring, and then have seed. By the way, kale plants are very susceptible to inbreeding problems, so I'd need to do that with at least 20 plants.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So now recently, Seed Savers Exchange, which is a catalog I highly recommend, Seed Savers Exchange on our border just down in Decorah, Iowa, they found seed that came in from another company, a country, Germany, I believe, that is an annual kale. So it will make seed between 90 and 120 days. So there's a good chance that I can grow a kale that will make seed in the fall that I can save and have my own kale seed. So I'm really excited about trying that. And it's in some of these smaller alternative catalogs that you would find that kind of possibilities. Tomatoes are just so wonderful. And the two varieties that I grow are very specific, and I wouldn't be able to find them anywhere else. And yet, in my mind, this time of year, I start fantasizing about a great big thick slab of Red Barn tomato, you know?
Yes.
So have fun with it and explore with it and try some of the alternative small seed companies.
We are talking with Kathy Connell from Redfern Gardens in Sabika, and she's presenting a workshop for beginning seed savers at Back to Basics in Pine River on January 27th. Kathy, do you have advice for how we should store the seeds that we save?
Remember, cool and dry, cool and dry. There's actually the possibility of saving seed that will make it last many, many years in a freezer. But that can be kind of touchy because if the seed is not totally and completely dry, it will get damaged from the moisture expanding in the seed in the freezer. So I tend to stay with just cool and dry. I have a room in the house that's just not heated as much as the others, and then I will use containers that I can seal tightly, and I will sometimes put the desiccants in there. I'll save the little packets from vitamin bottles or things like that and add to it to keep the moisture, but cool, dry, and dark. And anything that triggers that growth hormones to start moving around in that seed is going to make that seed age more quickly and not last for you as long. If it's kept cool and dry, most seeds can be kept 4 to 5 years.
And are there plant diseases that are carried in seeds?
There are, and tomatoes are kind of notorious for that. Tomato seed can carry plant diseases. And so one of the things that I do when I save tomato seed, and many places do that save tomato seed, is we ferment the seed first. And the fermentation process produces lactic acids in there that tend to kill some of those diseases that would be seed-borne. So it's always good to know your source of the seed and that where it came from, they're doing the proper things they need to do and not planting again in diseased soil or things like that. And then if you're saving your own seed, the fermentation process is really quite easy on tomato seeds. It's not difficult to do, but it will help with that kind of a problem as far as not having as many soil-borne disease possibilities.
And also, now, seed savers, obviously, they're going to be providing heirloom-type seeds. How do you know what is a seed that you can save from a variety and which ones, you know, won't breed true that are maybe...
Hybrids. You don't want to save seed from hybrids. And when I say you don't want to, maybe 10 years, maybe if you start seed saving now, 10 years from now, you will want to, because actually there's a process called dehybridizing, where you grow out a hybrid seed and begin to select and try and get close to the same plant, but not as a hybrid. Hybrid seeds are a cross between two different parents, and often those two parents are inbred. And so you don't want to try to save seed from them because the next generation will not be anything like the original parent plant. The next generation is going to revert back to the two parents and can be a really wide range. So you don't want to save seed from hybrids. I would stay away from anything that is patented. You know, it's often some of the patented varieties you are allowed to grow and save your own seed of, but you're not allowed to give it away or sell it. And then the seed companies that you go to, some seed companies specifically encourage you to save your own seed. So you'll know that those particular seed companies will be reliable as far as the seed they're selling you. Now, sweet corn... Many of the sweet corn seeds that are available in the seed catalogs for growers that would be growing market gardens, many of them are GMO. So, you know, again, you don't want to mess with anything like that. Seed Savers Exchange, adaptive seeds, high mowing seeds back east. They're very good as far as the varieties they carry because they do encourage seed saving also. Johnny Seeds is very good at explaining in their catalog which seeds are hybrids and which are not, which is something you want to look for. I want information from my catalogs that tells me exactly what it is I'm growing and whether it's a hybrid or not. And then, of course, well, what I would love to see is for us building more seed libraries and doing more seed exchanges. At this point, seed saving hasn't really begun to catch on as much in our area, our region, as I would like. But if it begins to grow, then we can meet in the spring and exchange varieties. And that's an ideal way to get started because we know that those are adapted to our region, which is really important. One of the things that I've been just discovered the last couple of years that I've been really making use of is Oregon seems so very different from where we are, and yet there's a lot of people working on seed saving and originating new varieties in Oregon. Well, Oregon actually has a dry, dry summer, and many of the growers there are working on seed varieties that mature before their dry summer hits in. So they're actually breeding for earliness, too. So some of the seed I've been getting, I grow a dry corn that I use for our cornbread, and I grow some dry beans that I use for our food. And they're actually, they've been earlier than some of the varieties that have been originating in our area because those folks are trying to get them to complete their maturity before the drought hits. You know, think about those kinds of things and understand that you can sometimes go out of the region and get what you want, but for a different reason.
Kathy, thank you so much for talking with us today. You have, obviously, you have a wealth of knowledge about seed saving. And your workshop is part of Back to Basics, and it's Saturday the 27th. The whole workshop runs from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Pine River Bacchus Schools. Do you know when your workshop is?
I believe I've got early morning. I think it's 10, and I'm doing two workshops, one on seed saving and one on gardening as if your life depends on it. And I think one is 10 and the other is 11, though I could be slightly off. It might be 9 and 10. And I will be bringing some seed to share with people who attend that workshop. So.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. Thank you so much for talking with us today.
Okay, this was a great start to my day. Thanks for getting me going.
Have a great day.
Yeah,
okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
And the theme for Back to Basics this year is called Navigating Changing Currents. There's a registration fee, and you can call us for more information at 800-662-5799 or register online at happydancingturtle.org. And there you can check out when Kathy Connell's workshop will be held for sure. And it is the morning show on Northern Community Radio, where we connect you to gardening, local food, and local growers each Wednesday.